Get outdoors. Remember those, I was telling Brother Jay, remember those camp meetings we had up by the lake up there? Boy, it would be a good day for that. Amen. One thing Obama's done for us, he's really increased the attendance in these daytime church services. There's so many people don't have a job to go to. Got better turnout. The instruction is each year to gear this morning meeting to the youth, and we've tried to do that through the years, and have been some of our best services have been these morning services. I want to say to you in introducing this message, I'm going to talk about authority this morning, and I don't like authority. I don't like it at all. I guess my mother should be 90 years old Sunday, and her earliest memories of me are equal to her most recent memories of me. I just don't like being told what to do. I don't like anybody telling me I have to do something and when I have to do it and how I have to do it. I've struggled with that thing all my life. A lot of the things that people ask you to do, authority figures, they don't make any sense. My brother and I shared a little room. I think it was an 8x8 bedroom we shared. And his bed was on top. Mine was in a drawer that pulled out. And every morning my dad'd say, make your bed. Why? Nobody's going in that room. Nobody cares what that room looks like. All I got to do is unmake it next time I want to use it. Never made any sense to me at all. But if I didn't make that bed, there were painful consequences. There was no hotline to call in those days. you just got what you got. And then they put these speed limits up. Well, I can drive faster than that, not hit anybody. I know it. But that's what they want you to do. And then you go to church and you start reading the Bible. And they got all these rules that don't seem to make any sense. There don't seem to be any reason for them. And what I want to do this morning, I want to show you, boys and girls, from the Bible, that all, according to God, all of your authority figures but one will be wrong. And the one who's never wrong is the one who told you to obey all the others. Because see, our argument is, my argument as a child, as a teenager, in my 20s, in my 50s, my argument is always, why do I have to do what they say they're not right? And I want you to see from the Bible that God anticipated that argument. Who could possibly be right when there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not? Who could possibly give you a correct and proper instruction from a correct and proper motive every time? Nobody but God himself. So let's see if we can work our way through this, and maybe this will help you. It hadn't helped me much. I still got a bad attitude, but maybe it'll help you to at least see why we're supposed to do what we're supposed to do. Amen. All right, Father, bless your word to our hearts, please. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Hebrews chapter 12, let's start there. Let's start with parents. We'll start at the bottom of the food chain here and work our way up. We know the verse, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. We know that verse because our parents made us memorize it. Out of all the scriptures they could have taught us, that's the one they wanted us to know right off the bat. Why? Because it's to their advantage. Now, in Hebrews 12, verse 5 says, ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. That's why you can't lay into somebody else's kids in Walmart. They might need it, but they're not yours. I like to carry an extra sock on an airplane to stuff in that kid's mouth who won't shut up. But I can't. It's not my child, you see. And you see this world, you say, well, how come they get away with this stuff? How come God didn't know anything about it? How come the America does this? And look who's marching in parades and all that. Why doesn't the Lord do anything? They're not his children. They're without chastisement because they have no father. They're just running wild out on the streets. Now, you try and do some of that stuff, God's going to deal with you. Now, look what it says. Verse number 9. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father and spirits of live and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us, look, after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, young dad starting out, you know all about it. And those of us who are now granddad age, we realize we didn't know as much about it as we thought we did. But the truth of the matter is, your father has rules, and they're his rules, and they may not be God's rules, and they may not even make sense, and they may not even be the rules 10 years from now. He's chastening you after his pleasure. There's nothing in the Bible says kids have to be in bed at 9 o'clock, but if your dad says kids have to be in bed at 9 o'clock, you got to be in bed at 9 o'clock. Okay? There's nothing in the Bible says you have to wear hard lace-up shoes to church and tennis shoes when you get home, but if that's what your dad says, that's what you're going to wear. And you can grumble about it with your siblings, oh, see why we got to do this. Well, nobody sees why you got to do it, but dad said so. That's the Bible. And you know what else the Lord said? Some of those things might not be profitable at all. You might not be a better person for it. You might not grow up to be a better adult for it. It might just be some crazy thing your dad decided to make a rule. Come on, that's what he said. And you know what the Lord said? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. God doesn't want to hear about how some of their rules are crazy. God doesn't want to hear about how it doesn't make sense to you. God doesn't want to hear about how if I when I grow up I'm not going to do this anymore. Great. But right now you are. I told my dad that once. I said, as soon as I'm old enough, I'm not going to do anything you say. He said, I don't care. Do what you want when you're old enough. Right now you're going to do what I say. Man, he'd take his belt out like Zorro taking a sword out. He'd pull that thing out, swing it in the air, and write D with it. You know, Dad. He'd march us down that hall. He'd say, son, you ever heard him say, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you? Yes, sir. He said, don't believe it. You know what? He had some rules that didn't make any sense to me. And when I got grown, I didn't put those rules on my kids. I put some other rules on them that didn't make any sense to them. You know what the Lord said? I expect you to obey your parents. I don't expect them to be right all the time. In fact, I know they're not going to be. So let's just get rid of that argument. All right, let's move on up the food chain. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, wives. You know you're supposed to obey your own husbands because that's the first verse they taught you after you got married. they could have put any wall plaque verse up in the living room, but that's the one. All these guys who get preacher, I'm getting married here. This is my fiance. I ordered everything you've got on wives, and I gave it to her to listen to. Yeah, she's gonna love that. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, watch this. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, well, how about that? They also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. Did you know in the longest passage God gave to wives about obeying their husbands, the Lord told them in the introduction, your husband's most likely not going to be obedient to the word of God? How about that? Well, you know, pastor, I need to come see you. My husband did some things that aren't right. My husband did some things he shouldn't have done. What a surprise! I'm absolutely shocked that you married the one man on earth who doesn't obey the scriptures all day long. How unlucky. What a misfortune. Who could have seen this coming? Now look, honestly, I say this the wrong way, I'm going to offend half the people here. I would not want to be in the position in my married life of having to obey. But every man here knows we are in that position. It's not commanded by God, but it's required. But you know what? Listen, young lady, if you're looking for the man that you can submit to because he is going to be everything that you thought he was when you were courting or dating or arranging or whatever it is you call it, forget it. Once the fish is on the hook, the bait goes back in the tackle box. It's back to no deodorant. It's back to dirty t-shirts. It's back. But you know what the Lord said? Do not come and tell me you don't have to obey him because he doesn't do anything right. I told you up front. He wasn't going to be obedient to the word. We doing okay? All right, let's keep on moving up. You know, that man, he's got to go to work. He's supposed to anyway. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter 2, verse 18. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear. Not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. You know what the Lord just said? Your boss isn't going to be right. Your boss isn't going to be fair. Your boss isn't going to be reasonable. Your boss isn't going to be honest. Tough. That's life. You don't like it? Invest your own capital, start your own company, and you try to get 20 teenagers to show up on time every day for work and do what they're supposed to do. You know what the Lord said? He said, if you are in a servant position, I want you to obey your master and do not come and tell me that your master is froward. I already knew that. Do not come and tell me your master doesn't respect you. I already knew that. Do not come and tell me your master gives you grief inappropriately. I already knew that. There's not a job that you can work on the face of this earth where you're going to think it's run the way it should be run, and where things are said you think ought to be said, and where you couldn't see how it could be done different. Of course. 2 weeks after you join the army, you can already find fault with all your commanding officers. 2 weeks after you join a church, you can see everything wrong with it. 2 weeks after you get a new job, you can see how things would be run better if you were in charge. You know what God says? I don't want to hear it. Bear the yoke and do what you're told. Now, can I be honest with you? I don't like any of that. Some of you, your disposition might be different. Your personality might be different. You're okay, you know, whatever you say. Whatever. I don't like that. You know what the Lord said? I'm not asking you to like it. I'm asking you to do it. Now, we'll get somewhere. We'll get somewhere. All right, same chapter. 1 Peter chapter 2. I don't like this either. 1 Peter 2:13. Submit yourselves, hate to even read it, to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to Obama as supreme, or to the governor, or to his collection agents, or to, look, I don't like any of that. You like any of that? Or to governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For this is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. You know what the Lord just told you? Obey ignorance. Submit to fools. Come on. I don't want those verses. I don't want them to be in my Bible. But there they are. I've got a gospel to preach and souls to win and families to strengthen and lives to build. I don't need to blow 10 years of my life in prison because I wouldn't pay my taxes. Is that okay? Joe, is that okay? Listen, we've got some battles to fight, But they've got to be battles God told us to fight, not battles we want to fight because we don't like the fools that are running things. Our crown, we're King James only, bless God, so we're against everybody and everything. We're not supposed to be against everybody and everything. We are supposed to be the best worker on the job, the best child in the family, the best wife in the social circle, the best citizens in the community. We are not to bring reproach upon the name of Jesus Christ. If we offend, it is to be because we preach the gospel, not because we're rebels. That's coming from the arch rebel. I asked my dad one time, I'm the oldest and there's a sister and a sister and then my young, I said, how come David never got punished for that or spanked for that or he got to do this and he got to do that? He said, son, I didn't have anything left. He said, you took all I had. Then I got saved, you know, and preachers started saying that about me. I'm not bragging about it. I'm just telling you, I don't like the idea that God said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Don't go into all the world and preach Obama's a bum. That's not our message. Look, if you got to tell people that man's a fool, they're fools. Nobody's going to agree with you who has to be told that. Tell them about Jesus. You got one conversation with that guy at the store. Why don't you make it one that'll count for eternity instead of venting? Okay, now watch. Look what he says. Under governors, or 13, submit yourselves to every ordinance man of the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors, unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, honor all men. Love the brotherhood, fear God. Now watch this. Honor the king. This is 64 AD. The king Peter's writing about is putting Christians in prison. You know what he said? Don't fight him. There's one law you can break. If they tell you you can't preach the gospel, preach the gospel. They tell you you got to pay 20% on a loaf of bread down at the market, pay it. That's what he said. They tell you you can't drive your chariot over 2 kilometers an hour, rein in the horses. That's what he said. I don't like that. Look, you know how crazy this country is, so do I. In Florida, I don't know what it's like up here in Florida. You shoot your next door neighbor, you'll be out in 7 years. You shoot his puppy, you might get a life sentence. This country's messed up, man. They'll kill babies in the womb and save sea cows. They're out of their minds. You know what the Lord said? You think I don't know that? I'm going to come back and crush them. I'm going to come back and annihilate them. I'm going to come back and take every crown they've got and banish them to fire at the judgment of nations. You don't think I know how messed up it is? You leave it alone. Go preach the gospel. Go get people saved. You don't have to agree with me. I'm leaving tomorrow. First Timothy 5. Now we'll get on the guy that just said that. First Timothy 5. Well, my pastor, your pastor. You mean you found something to find fault with about your pastor? Didn't that take a lot of skill? Talk to his wife. She'll tell you a few. We had this guy in our town. He preached the Wesleyan doctrine of sinless perfection. Preached it for 25 years. Had bumper stickers on their cars. If you still sin, you're not saved. 1 John 3:9. He'd come on the radio. He'd say, I hadn't sinned since 1964. Dave, Jesus saved me. I hadn't sinned since. I'd meet him on the street. We'd argue 30, 45 minutes at a time. He'd say, I don't sin. I said, I'm going to ask your wife. Without you around. Now watch this. 1 Timothy 5, verse 17. The elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. Against an elder, receive not accusation. So on and so forth. Now, so what did he say? Didn't he say the elders that rule well, worthy of double honor? Why didn't he just say the elders? Because the Holy Spirit anticipated that some of them would not rule well. Some of them would be lazy. Some of them would be rude. Some of them would be egomaniacs. Some of them would be on an authority kick. Some of them would be wrong in some of their doctrine. Some would be wrong in some of their practice. You know what the Lord said? So what? That's not your problem. If he said the elders that rule well are counted worthy of double honor, then that means there's some elders that aren't doing such a good job. He didn't say in such cases the living room is a valid option. Lord didn't say go to church if you can find a church where the preacher does everything right. He said forsake not the assembling yourselves together. He didn't say go to church if you can find a place where you agree with every decision that's made. There is no place you're going to agree with every decision that's made. Preacher puts up with you and you make a mess out of your life. Once you put up with him, and he makes a mess out of his. Well, look, go to church, done that. Preacher did something I don't agree with. You did something we don't agree with. Look, I'm telling you, here's the authority figures God gave you in the Bible. Parents, husband, boss, government, elders in the church. And the Lord told you in the passage each time, I already know. Don't come and tell me. I already know. They're not perfect. They're faulty. They're sinful. I don't like that. Because see, I want to be able to say, I don't have to obey them because they did this. But I don't get that option. I don't get that out. Okay, Acts chapter 5, verse 29. Here's where I lose my leverage. Here's where you lose your leverage. Come on, now, let's just watch this, read this verse, and then we'll be honest with one another. Acts 5:29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Okay? If man says one thing, God says another, we ought to go with God. Correct? I mean, we all know that. Okay. But here's why I can't argue against my parents. Because the one authority figure I have who's never wrong, I don't obey him either. See, if I always obeyed God, I could say, I don't have to obey them because they're not right. But if God's always right and I don't obey him, then the problem is not that my authority figure isn't right. My problem is I just don't like authority. See? If, sister, if you always obeyed God, you might get a hearing when you say, why do I have to obey my husband? He's not right. But God is right. And you don't always obey God. So your problem is not with your authority figure. Your problem is with authority. Come on, look, I feel the same way about this as you do. I don't like it. But if my boss at work is wrong and my boss in heaven is right and I'm disobeying both of them, I don't have any ground to stand on. I'm just a rebel. And I resist that yoke. A hard yoke? I don't like it. Jesus said, my yoke is easy. I still don't like it. I want to go where I want to go and have the Lord bless me when I get there. I want to do what I want to do and have the Lord bless me when I do it. I don't want to obey him. Just look at me and us with you. I've been saved since 1976. I've been preaching since 77. I've been pastoring since 81. I've been in that. That's my favorite book on earth. I love the Lord. I trust him. I want to go to heaven. I don't like being told what to do. Even by him. And you don't either. So if we could say, I obey God because he's right, but I don't obey. But we don't. So that takes away our argument against all the other authority figures in our life. All right, now let's go to Proverbs chapter 3. Brother Sam stole my verse. That's okay. Proverbs chapter 3. Now here's a message, boys and girls, for Friday morning. Proverbs 3, verse number 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. Question. Did God love you enough to send his son to die for you? Did God love you enough to wash all your sins away in the blood of Jesus Christ? Did God love you enough to prepare a place for you so you could dwell with him forever in heaven? You got to trust him. He is obviously not trying to mess up your life. He is obviously not trying to make you miserable. He obviously wants what is best for you. So if he asks you to submit to imperfect authorities, you just got to trust him. You can't reason it out. You can't try to figure it out. You can't argue your way into seeing whether or not it makes sense. You've just got to trust him. Now here's what I'm going to tell you. I've been young, now I'm old. I feel the same way about authority pushing 58 as I did pushing 18. I don't like it. Been married 35 years. I still don't make the bed because I don't have to now. My wife will say, I want to go in and make the bed. I said, why? Nobody's coming over. If they do come over, we're closing that door and nobody's going in there. Nobody's going to see our bed. And when I'm ready to go to bed, I got to take 24,000 pillows off the bed and stack them on the floor where the dog's been walking. Don't make any sense to me. But I have learned to be obedient. Even though I don't want to be. And so I say, those pillows really look nice. Stacked up like the Tower of Babel. We got 30 acres of property. Why do I have to have plants in the house? Look, I'm sorry you feel guilty about getting us kicked out of the garden, but we can't restore it. Try to walk across the living room, smash my head on a hanging plant. For what? See, it's all the same. Everybody's living the same life.
Well, if I was just married to him, it'd be different.
No, it wouldn't.
Boy, I wish I had her instead of the old lady.
No, we're all the same. Right. Honey, what's for supper? I didn't have time to cook. What have you been doing? Watching the Food Channel. Are you kidding me? Here's what I'm going to tell you. I'm looking 60 right in the eye. I have never, never lost anything in this life by obeying my parents. Even when they were wrong. I have never suffered in this life for doing the best I could in obedient service on my job. I have never been penalized by God for obeying the laws of the land. And it has never cost me fellowship with God or God's blessings to be the best church member I could be in assisting a pastor or a church leader, right or wrong. And none of those people were right all the time. And none of their rules made sense all the time. But I can tell you, my life is better because I've honored my parents. And my life is better because I've tried to be the best spouse I could be, put my wife ahead of myself. My life is better because she's tried to put me ahead of herself. My life is better because I've spent it fighting the devil, not his agents in the government. My life is better because I've tried to help churches, not tear them apart. Because I've tried to build them up, not nitpick them and fault find them. My life is better for that. And young people, the quicker you'll just agree with God that everybody's asking me to obey is as big a mess as I am, but I'm going to trust him. Your life will be better because you trusted God and obeyed authority. I don't like exercise. I get some. I don't. Some people say I don't get enough. Some people say I get too much. Say, do you eat right? How can you eat right when you're traveling 40 weeks a year and when you're home you're working 84 hours a week? I don't have a regular doctor. I like my policy, but I couldn't keep it. I have one hope. I have one hope of doing what I'm doing today 20 years from now. Honor thy father and thy mother that thy days may be long upon the earth. That's all I got. That's the only promise I got from God. He didn't say, eat veggies and thy days may be long. He didn't say, run 10 laps and thy days may be long. He said, if you honor your father and your mother, I might let you live. That's all I got. Hadn't shamed my dad. That's all I got. Treat my mom with respect. If that doesn't work, I'll just have to go to heaven. Children, your mom's not always right. Your dad's not always right. Trust God. Your husband's not always right. Your wife is not always right. Trust God. The boss is seldom right. The government's never right. Trust God. Pastor gets it right sometimes. He gets it wrong sometimes. Trust God. Just obey and submit and see if God doesn't bless you, because he's a good God. Amen. Amen.